You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I wanted to have a look into the letter sent yesterday by Corrections Minister Calvin Davis to the Chief Executive of the Department of Corrections, following recent accounts of abuse towards women prisoners at Auckland Women's Prison. I have here live Green Party Representative Gulriz Gowerman to speak on the action the government has taken and whether or not it's enough. Hi, welcome Gulriz. Thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
No worries. So, to begin with, what is the Green Party's opinion on Calvin Davis sending a letter to the Chief Executive of Corrections? Was it enough to address the recent abuse accounts towards women in prisons?
Well, we welcome that there's been a move by the Minister to both, very publicly and decisively accept that there has been, in fact, inhumane treatment of the women in our women's prison, and that major change is needed. So far, we haven't necessarily seen that. So this is a welcome step from the minister. It's a first step, I would say, and I think some of what's come out from the minister over the last couple of days around sort of there being a need for transparency and culture change has been some of what we have, been saying, Amnesty International has been saying, but it isn't quite enough in terms of what we're seeing as a proliferation of reports, whether it's Ombudsman's reports, the Prisons and Inspectorate report, and now through this court case, about the treatment of prisoners across our nation's prisons. Because this isn't actually an isolated incident.
Yeah, so what does the Green Party think can be done to effectively improve the general prison system so we can ensure that prisoners are treated humanely?
Yeah, so our position is that New Zealand shouldn't be imprisoning people at the rates that we are imprisoning them. We think that it's an absolute blight that Māori women are the most incarcerated Indigenous women in the world. And, our big neighbour Australia is in that, and we still are beating them with this dark statistic. We have a per capita prison population that's second only to the US and the OECD. There's absolutely no need for that. So our justice system actually needs overhaul when it comes to imprisonment. We're not necessarily saying we need to give more and more resource to what we see as actually an abusive and failed system. We know that higher rates of imprisonment don't actually bring down crime rates. In the case of drug crimes, in terms of, for example, methamphetamine, the rates went up every year since we made that a life imprisonment crime in terms of manufacturing, import and supply. So this isn't working. These have become these abusive institutions that aren't working to do the thing that we keep telling victims and our communities they're doing, which is keeping them safe. They're not keeping anyone safe. Deterrence isn't something that prison can bring us. What we want to invest in is prevention. What we want to invest in is drug and alcohol rehabilitation programs, mental health care. We know most of who we send to our abusive prisons actually suffer from quite serious mental health challenges that they've had no support for throughout their lives, including a really high rate of what's called a lifetime diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. So a lot of times these are victims. We're the victims of child uplifts, and we know that Māori rates of imprisonment are incredibly high. Whether in the case of women, and actually men across the board, it may be violence, gender-based violence, domestic violence and abuse. We know those rates are really high. So we're seeing cycles of abuse, cycles of poverty, and we're investing nothing in the prevention of that harm. Instead, we're just waiting for people with an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff and imprisoning them. Having said all that, there are people in prison now, and until we overhaul our justice system, they're still there in these very abusive institutions, as we found out, and that's not sort of my opinion, but as I say, we've got all of these reports coming out. And so we do need to see change. One of the things to remember is that people we hold in prison are the most marginalised people we have in society. So we have that baseline human rights standards because we know that if we don't uphold human rights, in the worst of cases, we're not really showing a commitment to the standards that we sort of hold ourselves to as a country. So we need transparency.
So
and the minister has said that about the women's prison, but we don't have transparency in any of our prisons. So where are the systemic changes that are going to tell us if abuse is happening? Where's the training that corrections are undergoing to know what their obligations are? So, you know, it's like the MSC culture change stuff. We haven't really seen anything that says we've told these institutions that actually they're serving the people and that they have an obligation to do that without abuse.
Yeah, so definitely to keep the system more accountable would be great goals. Well, I know you do have to run off to Parliament, so I think we'll finish it here now.
I'm running off to receive a petition from the Uyghur population who are asking us to help them come under the refugee quota and be reunified with their family members. So we should talk about that as well another
Definitely.
Time.
We should, next time. Well, thank you so much for being here and have a lovely rest of your day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
That was Green Party's Gulriz Gutterman on the action the government has taken towards women prisoners at Auckland Women's Prison and their treatment. And next, I decided to talk to Amnesty International New Zealand's Executive Director Meg Durand on their thoughts on Kelvin Davis's letter to the Chief Executive of the Department of Corrections following those accounts of abuse towards women prisoners at Auckland Women's Prison. A new letter directed towards the Chief Executive of the Department of Corrections was released by Kelvin Davis yesterday. Do you think that it properly sets up guidelines so we can avoid future abuse towards women prisoners in New Zealand?
Well, it was a pretty momentous day yesterday. We really can't understate how big it was to have the Crown formally apologise to the women that were abused in their care. Not only did they apologise from the minister yesterday in public, but Corrections themselves met with the women last Friday and apologised. So the letter was symbolically important as well as the specifics that were sent through to Jeremy Lightfoot. And also it's worth acknowledging that this is a huge turnaround from the minister. You know, we met with him last week as Amnesty International, and there were other experts with us at that meeting, including Professor Tracy McIntosh, who he quotes in that letter. So, you know, this turnaround has come about after a huge amount of pressure from experts and organisations and media. So I don't think the regulations or the changes, I should say, that are spout out in that letter will necessarily result in a huge change, but at least it is a first step in the right direction after what has mostly been denials from Corrections and the minister that anything was wrong.
Yeah, do you think that we can extend these critiques and concerns towards all prisoners and prisoner treatment in New Zealand?
Absolutely. This is what Amnesty has been calling for over a year now. We've got grave concerns about the ability to monitor what's going on in our prisons. You know, the data collection is an issue, and it's an issue that's been pointed out since, even since the Special Rapporteur from the UN was here back in 2014. They raised concerns that some of the information collected on the minimum standards that all people in prisons are entitled to, it differed from what they were actually finding when they were going into prisons. So we do see this as being something that needs to be reviewed across our prison system, and in particular those issues of the complaints system, the data collection of minimum entitlements, and the transparency of other experts to be able to see that data, because it shouldn't just be Corrections ensuring that they're doing things well by themselves, because they've repeatedly demonstrated that if we allow that to happen, it can get to a crisis point like it did with Auckland Women's.
Yeah, because there are rules towards how prisoners must be treated, and these abuses should have never been able to occur. So how can we keep the Department of Corrections accountable on the ground?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every single person in the world is entitled to their human rights, whether they are in prison or not. The only right that is, gotten rid of for a short period of time or that is hampered for a short period of time is the right to liberty. So when people enter into the prison system, they're giving up their freedom for a period of time that's agreed by the court, but all their other rights are still in play. And rights like to be free from torture, you can never, ever impede on that. So there's never a justifiable reason for the state to use torture. There's never a justifiable reason for the state to treat people inhumanely or to degrade them. So corrections have admitted that they broke domestic law, but they've also broken international human rights law, which some of our domestic law obviously comes from. So they will need to make remedy and address that. But the issue, the broader issue, is that it took 5,300 New Zealanders, two court cases, an investigative journalist, lawyers, Amnesty International, Just Speak, so many different players to get to the stage that we were yesterday. And that isn't good enough. We shouldn't have women who go through this. We shouldn't have anyone who goes through this. And it shouldn't actually be up to civil society to ensure that laws are being followed. So we do need a system that's going to make sure going forward, transparency is more easily accessible for all of us.
Yeah, and although the letter does acknowledge that these abuses occurred, it says that the chief inspector's report notes that she found no evidence of deliberate cruelty from staff or attempts to break the spirits of these women. Do you think that this is really a fair assessment and that those associated are free from being held accountable?
Yeah, I mean, that's slightly at odds with what Judge David McNaughton found in his summary of facts in the district court. So he found that it appeared the behaviour was more about punishment and that therefore was concerning. The inspectorate has found that there was no deliberate cruelty, but there doesn't necessarily need to be deliberate cruelty for it to amount to torture under international law. So that will, I guess, still need to be examined because obviously if the treatment of these women was to try and get a particular outcome or to try and punish them for their behaviour, then that is still of grave concern.
Yeah, definitely that is very concerning. And to refocus back on women's prison specifically, in the letter he also says, "I want all future management plans for women to be based on their needs and best interests." Would you say that this is a problem, that a lot of our systems may be based around the needs of males rather than considering the needs of minorities such as women and people of colour?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately no person should be treated inhumanely, whether they identify as male, female, non-binary. In this particular instance, I'm not entirely sure why the minister is making that that differential. And I guess just to note that women are actually the majority in New Zealand, so we're not a minority, and our female prison population is growing at quite an alarming rate. So obviously there does need to be consideration of aspects for female prisoners that may be different to males. But I think overall, if humanity is at the core of your system, then it will acknowledge the intersectional identities that we bring into a system like prison. So, you know, prison systems should be set up to deal with the different needs of people, whether that comes from their gender, their sex, their sexuality, their skin colour, their culture, all of those things. We should have a system that recognises the humanity of all the people in its care. So I think if that's the starting point, the system will be a lot stronger for it.
So that was Amnesty International New Zealand's Executive Director Meg Durand on Calvin Davis's letter to the Chief Executive of the Department of Corrections following accounts of abuse towards women prisoners in Auckland Women's Prison.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.